On the Mama Bear Dares podcast, we love and are encouraged by female podcasters giving helpful advice on motherhood. Mama Bear Dares aims to add to the conversation by turning the spotlight onto moms who have inspired us by doing big and bold things, in addition to being great mothers. We feature regular moms that you sat next to at PTA meetings or smiled at while she tended to her screaming toddler in the middle of Target. These moms have started their own international nonprofits from their Lego-laced living rooms. They've come out of the other side of losing a loved one, and they've carved out time to produce breathtaking art. We dare to deep dive into what makes these women more than mom and boldly ask the questions we've all been thinking.
So come with us as we share the stories of women who love being called mom, but have shifted the paradigm that aims to stop there. Artists, entrepreneurs, creative visionaries, social change agents, activists, all women who have tapped their mama bears and dared to live full, joyful, duplicitous lives. Mama Bear, we dare you to witness the ripples that they've started and begin to create some of your own. Good morning, Tessie. How are
you
today?
I'm doing well. How are you?
I'm good. We are talking about you today on the podcast. We're going to let our listeners get to know the fabulous person that I know you are.
We did you first real quickly. We did you first. And that was just so fun for me. And you were like, I was kind of nervous. I'm like, why would you be nervous? And now I feel nervous. So I totally get it. Okay.
It's uncomfortable sometimes
just being
the focus, but it'll be a great conversation. And, I can't wait for everyone to learn a little bit more about you and, just get to share some of the great things about you and the way that you live your life. So what have you been doing this morning?
Yeah, I'm a fitness instructor and at a gym in Kalamazoo, Michigan called Phoenix Fitness. And so I taught a couple classes this morning, and then I love getting it out of the way. So I always drop the kids off at the bus and then head to Phoenix. It's about a half hour from where we live. And I get the workout in, and then I get to come home and do some work. So it's kind of the best possible job, really.
Yeah, so let's talk a little bit more about that. And we'll of course cover just kind of your family and some of your other interests and things. But since I've known you to be an athlete.
Yeah, I have loved sports since I first tried them, really. And I loved moving even before that. I think all of our videos of me with my younger brother and older sister, I'm in constant motion, and I don't know if that's because I'm the middle child and just had a little more zest for life, or if it's just because I've always loved moving my body, but either way, I just am kind of constantly moving even today. And yeah, so I tried every sport growing up. I kind of settled on, I was a four-sport athlete in high school, and then, like you said, I moved on to college and ran track for a year. But I don't know, even after I stopped running track and transferred to Iowa and met Zach and had Tristan, I still just, when I was pregnant, I didn't move at all. It was just kind of my jam. I just really enjoyed Tombstone pizzas and sitting around. But after I had Tristan, I'm like, oh yeah, I like moving. I had forgotten that. So yeah, I started just getting back into it. And at the time, you know, when you're in college, it was more like riding bikes and going for long walks with a new family. But I think I had Dayla, and I was doing marketing full-time for a construction company. And we were kind of thinking about adopting. And I had done enough research to know, like, oh, this is going to require a lot of intense emotional energy to adopt. Zach and I talked, and it was like, why don't you stay at home? But I knew I couldn't, I would need something else. And so that's kind of when I got into personal training and group fitness the way it's evolved now. So for the last almost a decade, I've been doing that, just getting it started when the kids were all young as an outlet to kind of have interaction with adults. Mm-hmm. And then, of course, to get some of my own energy and frustrations out, and has evolved into one of my favorite things is when people learn what it feels like to be healthy. When they get past kind of the soreness or the excuses, and they just learn that living a healthy life means you love yourself more, you have more love to give to other people, you have more energy for yourself, you have more energy for other people. And it really is just kind of this domino effect, you know, when you find that health, and I'm not talking about any certain weight or whatever, but just a physical health that can then kind of domino into mental and emotional health as well. That's my favorite thing. So I can't foresee, no matter how awesome this podcast goes, that I'll ever stop that part of my life because I just really, really love that. That's a passion of mine.
Yeah, well, and you're so good at it, and I think one of your, I mean, you're great at like the yoga poses and things like that, but you're really, really great at being an encourager. I think that that's one of your really just one of your best gifts is that you're a very positive person and you are quick to share a compliment and to lift the person up that's standing next to you. And I've seen that just the way that you're the people that take your classes and your personal training clients, the way that they just act around you, they light up and they, I think, just kind of feed off of your energy and your encouragement. And it really, you've made a big difference in a lot of people's lives. You're reaching there. And it's just really, it's cool to see that as one way that you can really touch others and impact lives. I also love watching you coach. Because you have stepped up and you've coached a lot of your kids' teams, which I think is cool, not only, you know, is a great thing for a mom to do, but just you don't see a lot of moms coaching. A lot of times it's the dads who coach. But I think it's been really fun to watch you just be the coach and be the one, especially as your kids are getting older now. Just I saw you a couple weekends ago. You know, really passionately telling a group of almost 13-year-old boys, like, no, this is how you play basketball, and just seeing them respond to you and really respect you, that's been really, really fun to watch.
Firstly, thank you so much. I probably will cry at some point during this podcast because that's also a thing I do. I'm sure you tell Oliver.
That is true. My children are always like, did she cry? Did Aunt Tessie cry about that? Because they know you.
I know. I do enjoy that. Well, I've come to embrace it, I should say. But thank you. I really appreciate that. And honestly, yeah, the coaching, it's so interesting because Zach and I are coaching our oldest, who's 13. They have a basketball team, and Zach was gone this past weekend in Indianapolis, and we had two games. And I told him they listened, of course, they did that, but I felt very much like that, you know, teenager angst a little bit with the mom figure. There was definitely some healthy skepticism of their, you know, them accepting my coaching. But I just really enjoy coaching because I love kids so much. I have five, so obviously I love kids. But I really enjoy our house always has kids going in and out that are not my children as well. And I love getting to know them. I love just kind of being another parental figure that they can do that to, you know. And I just, it's so surreal. But I love hearing, Miss Klipsch, can I have some applesauce? I mean, it's just so much fun being involved in so many kids' lives. And because I remember some of the first adults to teach me, you know, some of my values that I still hold today were my coaches. I mean, I think that there's such value in that, especially for kids who really love sports and want to be shaped by their athletic endeavors. I think the coaches have a really big responsibility to not be jerks, to not make it about winning, but about learning something in the process. And you know, so that I take that job pretty seriously as well. I want it to be fun, but I want them to learn something, and I want them to know that they're just completely loved in the process. And I don't know that all coaches do, so, but that's kind of a big thing for Zach and me. So, We do. We try to volunteer as coaches when we can.
Yeah, and that's fantastic. The kids on your teams are definitely lucky to have you guys, both of you, as that sort of really great outside influence. Let's back up though a little bit. So we've hit a little bit on the fact that you have five kids and the fact that you were pregnant, with two of them and that you adopted others. So talk to me a little bit and tell our listeners the story of how you became a mom. What did that look like for you?
Yeah, it was kind of insane. It was a trying time, I'll say. I met Zach in remet. We can go into that story at some point, but remet him our sophomore year in college, and within, I think it was like 6 months, I found out I was pregnant, and within 6 weeks of that, we got married.
Seriously, and you had an
And
ice sculpture at your wedding. Like it was, you had like, I think it was like 5 weeks. I feel like you're getting the dates wrong, but like 5 weeks, we get a call, Zach and Tessie are getting married, and 5 weeks later we show up and there's like an ice sculpture and like bridesmaids dresses, and I was an usherette at your wedding. And like not only did you outfit your groomsmen, your bridesmaids, yourself in a beautiful wedding dress, Zach in his tux, but you also, your mom bought dresses for me, like a dress for me as an usherette.
I cannot take any credit for that. I was newly 20 years old, and for anyone who knows Connie Dawson, my mom, like, she just gets shit done. When
Oh
she
my God.
decides to do something, there's just no stopping her, and she works faster than anyone else I know. And I love it. We did have a nice sculpture. Shout out to Big Steer from Altoona. But other than that, I mean, like, the bridesmaid dresses were from Sears. Sears, like, right next to the appliances. And then I don't even remember where we found your dress. And my dress was, like, off the rack for $100, and my mom
Amazing.
talked them into giving me my veil
Oh
and my
my
shoes for
gosh.
115 total with tax.
That does not surprise me at all because I have seen your mom in
I
action and she is amazing. You have an amazing extended family.
She is. It was so funny. So yeah, we did. We got married and had Tristan, who was a good baby and continues to be a happy, super laid back kid.
13,
And
13
he's
on
13. Yeah,
Thursday.
by the time this comes out, he'll be
Yeah,
13, which is
crazy.
just crazy. And then a few years after that, we had Dayla, who is now 9. Her pregnancy was a little tricky. I had had a miscarriage before that, and so I think I just felt so much fear when I was pregnant with her that I'd lose another one. But no, after Dayla, she was born early and was in the NICU for about a week, a little over a week. And it was after that that I was just like, you know what, Zach? I don't need to do that again. I had heard about, obviously, adoption and had always been interested in it. Probably about a year, when Dayla was a year old, we started researching more, and by we, I mean me. I just went, delved into the research and would then report back to Zach what I learned. And so, yeah, when Dayla was, I think she was about a year and a half, we brought Teraku home, and Teraku was 3 at the time, just over 3, and Tristan was 5 almost, which was so great. It was obviously a learning experience. He's from Ethiopia, and so that was kind of our first experience at going somewhere that wasn't, Jamaica or Mexico or whatever. So Zach and I really enjoyed that as well. And 2 years after that, we were going to adopt again from Ethiopia. So Tomas and Binam's adoption, because they'd been waiting for over a year, went really quickly. And by the time we kind of sent in our application to when we went and got them was 6 months, which is, for anyone who knows, international adoption is just basically unheard of. So we kind of, Zach is actually, at the time, was a camp director there in Iowa, and we ended up going in the middle of summer, which is the most intense time for him. So we got back, and I was kind of single momming all of these 5 kids. So there was a brief period where it was just a lot. It was a lot mothering. the five of them. They're awesome. So.
Remind us how old they were. So when you came back, you had a f how old was everyone?
Tristan was 7 and Tomas was 6. Teriku was 5. Dayla was 4 and Beenom was 3. So they're all within, Dayla and Beenom are actually the same age, except for a month. So at that time, though, they were all kind of stair step down. So
Right.
now they're all 13 to 9.
Okay.
So.
Yeah, so tell us about Zach a little bit. Just to review, he is my husband's brother, so we are married to brothers. But you mentioned already that Zach was a camp director at a YMCA camp. Tell us a little bit about him and how you are now in a new place. Maybe talk a little bit about the move that happened as well.
Almost 2 years ago, one of his good friends who had moved to South Bend to become the CEO of the Michiana Y had been kind of trying to talk Zach into checking out this job at a new camp in Three Rivers, Michigan called Camp Eberhart. He's now the vice president of, I think it's Youth Services is his title. So he oversees kind of what's going on at camp. Whereas with Camp Abe Lincoln in Iowa, he dealt with the day-to-day tasks of camp. He doesn't really do that here. He just oversees the really great camp director they have here and does more fundraising and all of that for camp. And then he also oversees all of the programming at the actual Y in South Bend, Indiana. And for sure, his soul is lit up when he is with kids. I mean, he's just such a phenomenal dad, of course, but uncle as well. And then he just takes that same energy and love and makes such a cool impact on kids' lives in the camping world. I mean, we still get Father's Day cards from some of the kids that he impacted when we were in Iowa. I just think it's the most remarkable thing that he does. So that's what he does. And he also kind of dabbles in triathlons lately and just happens to be kind of the funniest guy I know and a great dad.
He's pretty great. That is for sure. He's a just an incredible human. I also want to talk about your blog. You've done such an amazing job of just tackling these subjects that you're facing in your everyday life and then making them seem applicable to everyone.
When you set out to, especially in the last couple years or 2 or 3 years, whatever, as the blog has changed, I've thought, you know, I'm struggling with this and I can't be alone in that. So I just want to put this out there so that I don't feel so alone and that maybe someone else won't feel so alone either. And so to hear that that's like the message that it's sending, it feels so good, you know. Whereas if you're blogging that and then people are like, oh, what a great mom blog, you're like, well, that wasn't the intention.
Sure, right.
So to hear, you know, to hear what it, that it's serving the purpose that I set out to serve makes me feel so happy and cry happy tears. So thank you. I mean, it did. It started because when we started adoption, there was a like chat room, and I saw all these people had blogs, and that made the wait for Teriku go so quickly because I could kind of read their blogs and be like, okay, they turned in their application on Friday, and then 2 months later to the date, it was accepted, and then so it gave me some kind of, you know, structure to work in. So I thought, oh, I can do that for other people too and let them know. And just again, I've never really been, I've always been an oversharer to some degree, probably. So I kind of even then set out to just be like, here's what's happening, here's how I feel about it. So even from the outset, I just wanted it to be a place where people could go and not feel alone in the adoption journey or motherhood journey. And then when I was kind of in the thick of parenting, it did become more about like, here's some pictures and here's what we did on Friday, because I think I didn't have the mental energy to spend on, and what does that mean? You know, how am I feeling about that? But after kind of the physical act of mothering wasn't so intense, I started to really dive into more of the There was a time when it was really adoption focused, just kind of what it means to parent a kid with loss and trauma and how that feels as their mom to watch it and how it feels as their mom to, well, really as a human to kind of deal with the repercussions of that and to try to stay sane and also lovable. And I think that's, as it's evolved and my kids have gotten older, I mean, Tristan reads the blog, so I have to be more careful now about what I share because I don't want them to be pigeonholed into being the kid that did X or the kid that, whatever. But at the same time, most of my other kind of quote-unquote mommy bloggers have dropped by the wayside. And I feel like as my kids are getting older, I want that again. I want someone who's gone before me who has, say, a 16-year-old boy, young man, to tell me what it's like, to tell, like, let me know you made it.
Right.
Like, are you alive out there? but everyone stopped, and I feel, and so it starts to become a little lonely again, where because I had kids when I was so young, I don't have, my kids are older than most of my friends' kids.
Mm-hmm.
And so it can start to feel like, I don't know what I'm doing again. And I'm alone in feeling that way. And so I think I blog now to just get it out there. And what's been remarkable about it lately is that, I mean, as always, I'm not alone. More mm-hmm. people say, like, oh, thank you for saying that. I feel the same way. And so in the end, it ends up making me feel so much better, too. Even though I do it as a way to try to share my experience, it ends up making me feel less alone. And so, yeah, that's kind of the purpose the blog has served. And it's been so wonderful. I mean, I don't do it as frequently, but it's so nice.
Yeah, your style has definitely changed in that now it seems to me that you take time with these kind of thoughts. You let a topic sort of percolate for a while. You've been throwing in some research and just really making it not only personal, but also informative. And I think that's really powerful. And I think that your perspective as, a white female Midwestern mom raising three black young men. I think that gives you just a really interesting perspective on life in America in 2016 and the fact that you are willing to be open about, those struggles and the real concerns that you have. It makes it accessible to a population who might not otherwise be thinking about those things, unfortunately.
Right. I hope so. I mean, that's the goal because we only know what we know. We only know what we've experienced personally unless we really make the time to listen. If you're not listening, if you're only talking, then there's no way for you to grow really as a human. And so I feel like because I am just like an average white mid-30s woman, unfortunately, people listen to me in a way that they don't always listen to the stories of, minority women, people of color, transgendered, whatever it might be. But maybe if they have some kind of window into that through my eyes, they might actually be open to the stories of people who aren't being heard right now, unfortunately. So I take my job way more seriously. Like you said, I do, whereas before I'd just kind of type it out, punch it out, and submit it. Or post it. Now my days look more like I'm working on a post and I'll just write, I'll kind of word vomit and then I'll let it sit for a day and I'll go in and edit it and let it sit for a day, switch it up, So it's a lot longer of a process because, the more people that are reading, the more I feel pressure to, especially if I'm writing about what it feels like to parent black young men, I feel, it needs to be done right and it needs to be done well so that I don't make progress go backwards in any way, shape, or form. I want to make sure that people, if they are finding some accessibility in what I'm writing, that they're able to pull something out of it so that the next time they hear it from someone else who maybe they don't normally really care about, honestly, mm-hmm. that they're like, wait, I've heard that before. Maybe there's something to that.
you're really shining a light on really important things in this world. And
Yeah, I think life is really fun and funny, but we also can't gloss over some of that other stuff, and especially when it comes to your kids. You know, the mama bear rears its head, it does, and then I find myself writing it out. And sometimes it's small enough to go on Facebook, but very rarely it is because I just love words and I can't edit myself.
Well, and I love how, you've shared that too with, I know Teraku keeps a journal, and I think you just understand sort of the therapeutic power of journaling and of expression and are modeling that for the kids, and I think that's really, really cool. Tessie, I think we should probably wrap up in a little bit here, but you're always reading such great stuff. And I just started a book that you lent me by Jhumpa Lahiri. Hopefully, I'm
Oh,
saying that
yeah.
correctly. The Interpreter of Maladies. And it's a great, great book of short stories that you recently recommended. So I always like to know what you're reading, what's on your list right now.
I actually, my friend Bridget told me to read The Desire Map. Have you heard of it?
No.
A guide to creating goals with soul. And I'm not usually a like traditional self-help person. I don't usually get into that, which is, I mean, a lot of my friends are and they find value in that, but for some reason I can't just hook into it usually. But I liked it. It was good. There's like some practical advice at the end. I kind of powered through it a little bit, but that's really good for someone, especially if you're not sure. You and I were just talking about like we don't know what we want to do with our lives. So we created a podcast, but that one it was so good about just helping you recenter like and figure that out a little bit. So I would totally recommend that for anyone doing that. And then now I've started the new Gloria Steinem book. So I'm just a few pages in, but my friend Liz lent that one to me. So I'm really excited about that. But I'm so happy you started that book. I've read more of Jhumpa's stuff and it's all really, really good.
Tessie, thank you so much for being in the spotlight. I think you were amazing. I mean, I love talking to you, and I think that listeners will love hearing from you and just the incredible experiences you've had, and just that, we talked about your mom being a really, like you said, she gets things, she works faster and harder than anyone you know. And I think you definitely have those traits too. We joke around a lot about, like, we have ideas, but like a lot of times these things come to fruition, and it's because you are someone who is willing to, you work really hard, you have great vision, and you understand people and just know how to get things done, which I love being a part of the things that you do. I love the example that you're setting to our children and those around you, and I'm just so excited to be here with you.
Thank
So
you.
part of our thing with Mama Bear Dares is that we want to leave listeners with something tangible that they can maybe try to do throughout the week. So do you have a dare for our listeners today?
Oh my. So Mama Bear dares you to try to harness some of that energy, the Connie Dawson spirit, right? Where if you have something you want to do and it feels right within your soul to just make it happen, to pour your energy, to pour your heart, to pour your time into it and see how it goes. Because if it fails, it fails, no big deal. But, get that off the rack dress for $115 and you go get married, ice sculpture or not,
Mama Bear dares you to do something as outrageous as plan a wedding for like how many people? Like 500 people in 2 weeks. And you can do that when you work hard and when you work fast and when you just throw yourself into your task and just make up your mind to do it. I think that's a great dare. And that can be, it can be a big thing, and it can also be a little thing that has you just been doing
Absolutely.
well. So.
Organize your closet, but do it with heart and gusto.
That's right. All right, well, let's end there. Thank you so much, sister.
Thank you.
You were so good at the Facebook. We should have covered that. I totally. We should
Oh,
have been like.
my one redeeming quality, and we didn't even hit on it. I don't know. We might have to redo
Who
this whole thing.
knew? Who knew you actually had so much more to offer? I'm in shock.